As we come this morning, we want to turn again to 1 Peter chapter 3. Last Sunday, we looked in chapter 2 at the suffering of Christ our Lord, who suffered in our place on the cross of Calvary, who in his own body bare our sins on the tree, that we, being now dead to sins, should live unto righteousness or holiness, by whose stripes we were and are healed. Now, the Apostle Peter here is giving a great picture of the life of the believer in view of our position in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, in the opening verses of 1 Peter chapter 3, he focuses on the home life of the believer. He focuses specifically in verses 1 through 7 on the married life of a husband and wife. And that is, of course, the foundation of the Christian home. The Christian home, with a loving husband and a loving wife, who first and foremost of all love God supremely with their whole heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit, and then who secondly love one another dearly, and who also love the church in the earth, is the foundation not only of the Christian home, but it has been that which has sustained society down through the centuries of time. And over the years, the breakdown of the home life of the believer, leads to the downfall of the church and the society in which we live. The home life of a Christian family is to be the cornerstone for Christian instruction every day, not just learning about Jesus on Sunday morning with a sermon, but much more than that, learning about Jesus in the home. And the first example is how wives and husbands interact and treat each other. And so in chapter 3 of 1 Peter, we have the married life of the believer in view. So he says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." Let us pray. Father in heaven, I pray now that as we look in thy holy word here in 1 Peter chapter 3, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will show us your divine order concerning marriage in the Christian home, how wives and husbands are to treat each other, and in doing so, it is the greatest example for our children to behold, how we are to behave and to conduct ourselves before you, dear Lord. And so I pray that you will help me to be a more godly and supportive Christian husband and a minister of the gospel who is faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now remember in chapter 2, various verses there, and we're going to see it also in verse 6 in chapter 3, that Peter emphasizes the importance of doing well in the Christian life. Remember in chapter 2, in verse 14, he said, being submissive to governors and government, as those that are sent by God for the punishment of evildoers, but for the praise of those who do well. And then again, in verse 15 and verse 20, if we take suffering patiently for doing well, then that is acceptable unto God. Now, wives and husbands, now, we are equal in God's sight, although we have different roles in the Christian marriage. Never in the Word of God does God's Word give permission for husbands to lord over their wives nor mistreat them in any way. We are to cherish our wife as Jesus Christ cherishes His bride, the church. And we're going to see about that in a few moments in Ephesians chapter 5. But first he says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, let us think about men and women coming together in holy matrimony. The ideal situation is for both of them to be believers in Jesus. It is very, very unwise for a believer to marry an unbeliever. Paul warns against that in 2 Corinthians 6:14, where he says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That certainly applies to marriage. And it also applies to all other aspects of life. We're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers in any endeavor. Although we are to be a living witness to the unbeliever. And so here in the opening verses of chapter 3, Peter, and then also we'll see in a moment Paul, addresses how wives and husbands are to interact, especially when one of them is a committed Christian and the other one is not. But now, first of all, he does say that the wife, according to God's order, is to be in subjection to her own husband. Now, that does never mean in such a way as a husband to be abusive to his wife. That's not at all what that means. Paul would affirm that. Now in Ephesians 5:21, Paul first says that we are both to be in submission to God. First, both husband and wife are to be in submission to God and the will of God. Now what does that mean? Submission means that we yield ourselves to the leadership, to the guidance of God and God's Word. The Christian home, the Christian marriage, is based on how the Lord teaches us to live in His Word. And then he goes into wives being submission and subjection to your own husbands. For if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife. What he's saying here is, that if the wife is married to an unbeliever, or if her husband is a believer and is not faithful in his Christian life, that it may be that the Christian witness of his wife may bring him to Christ in a true relationship with Christ and service to the Lord. That's what he's saying. While the husband beholds the chaste behavior, conversation of the wife. And then it was in the days that Peter and Paul wrote, Roman women adorned themselves with gold and silver and great costly apparel. But now he begins to teach us that we're not to focus on the outward appearance, but more on the inward heart. Now, that's not to say that we're not taking care of our body, and we are to be as beautiful and presentable as possible outwardly, but let our adorning, let the adorning of our wives, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. In other words, the beauty of the Christian wife does not solely come from her outward beauty, but more importantly, from her inward beauty, her inward relationship with God and Jesus Christ, her Savior. The adorning, and that goes for all of us, doesn't it? You, of course, remember when Samuel was anointing David to be king, he said that mankind looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. The inner man is what he's teaching here. The inner man. Again, Paul taught the very same thing in 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. When he says, in like manner, I therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. So, in the Christian home, the first thing we're to do is pray. But wisely been said that the family that prays together stays together, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And that's the symbol of showing our submission to God and our dependence on Him. So that in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with the plaited hair, gold and pearls and costly array. So we want that which becometh godliness, women and men professing godliness with good works. Then he also says, let the woman learn with all subjection to her husband. Now, see, this doesn't work like it's supposed to unless both partners are Christians, unless both man and wife are believers. And so he says, he gives examples that of those in the Old Testament who did the same. And he gives the great example of Sarah, obeying her husband, Abraham. Verse 6, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do what? As long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. So he's still on that theme of doing well in the service of God, in the context of the Christian home and husband and wife doing well. It is to be found not in the outward appearance, but rather in the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. We live in a corrupt body because of sin. But God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, has implanted within us His own essence. His Spirit lives in the heart of every believer, and that part of us is incorruptible and it does not sin. That is to be our adorning. Paul says this in Romans 2:29. First, let's get verse 28 and 29. He says, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." See, the Jews focused on the outward religious ceremonies at the expense of the condition of their heart. But Paul says, he is a Jew who is one inwardly. Even we Gentiles by nature, by the new birth of the Spirit, we are spiritual Jews. He is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the Holy Spirit and not in the letter of the law, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Romans 2:28-29. It is the hidden man of the heart. Another scripture refers to it. The hidden man of the heart. And so that is where we are to focus our energy in our relationship to husband and wife. And so he says that it is to be even that the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. We are to have a meek and a quiet spirit. A meekness is not weakness, and meekness is not just being carried about with any wind of thinking. To be meek literally means to be guided by the control of the Holy Spirit. To be guided by the control of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. But yet he was not weak. Rather, he was bold. He was bold in his faith, meaning that he was submissive to the directions of God, the direction and leadership of God, the Holy Spirit, of a meek and a quiet spirit. And that should be true not only of the wife, but also of the husband as well. Because we are to be serving the Lord together in a meek and quiet spirit. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord in Genesis chapter 18. That we may do well in our service to God. To do well in our service to God, it has to start in the home first. And then spread out in our local church assemblies and in our community. Then he says in verse 7, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, dwell with your wives, according to knowledge." That is, according to the knowledge and wisdom that God has given us through His Word, through the illumination of understanding of the Holy Spirit. giving honor unto the wife. Jesus honors His bride, the church, you and me. We are to give honor and cherish our bride as unto the weaker vessel. Now, the weaker vessel. Now, often, usually, women are usually not as strong physically as men. That's one sense of being the weaker vessel. But it doesn't mean that women are any less than a man is in God's sight. But there is a partnership that is compared to the relationship between Jesus and the church. And it has to do with guidance and submission. And as being heirs together of the grace of life. So when we are doing these things according to the Word of God, then He says that our prayers be not hindered. So we have to be treating one another correctly, that our prayers be not hindered. Now, look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, which is one of the most well-known passages concerning the Christian life of the husband and the wife. Ephesians chapter 5, he says that we are, in verse 20, to give thanks to God always in all things. And then verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Mutual submission one to another in the fear of God. So there is to be submission one to the other. Literally, not just wife to husband, but also husband to wife before God. So He does say, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Our marriage is to be a picture of Jesus and the church. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And Jesus is the Savior of the body. Here the church is talking of all God's children. We are the bride of Christ. Therefore, just like the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Now that's in the context of a loving Christian home. A loving husband, a Christian husband, and a Christian wife. Wives do not have to submit to abusive relationships. Never. That was not ever God's intent. Because Christian husbands, we are to love our wives and cherish them, just like Jesus loves the church and gave Himself for it. We should be willing to give our very lives for our wives. What Paul is saying. Because that's what Jesus did. In other words, we are to sacrifice whatever things that we would like to do in deference to our marriage relationship. Because Jesus sanctified and washed us with the water of His Word. So, He says that our marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. It's a great mystery, He says in verse 32. But I speak, He says, concerning Christ and the church. So that let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. I'm to love my wife as I love myself. You know, by nature, we're selfish, aren't we? We want to do what we want to do and not think of others. But we can't be that way in the marriage relationship. We have to think of the good of our partner above our own. So that's what he says. Love your wife even as yourself. And so as we think of this lesson today, it really is a picture of how we, as the bride of Christ, how we are to be in subjection to Jesus and to be led by the Holy Spirit, that we might do well in the service of God. So these are the things he says, that when we do these things, we will be found doing well, and we will not be afraid with any amazement. So God bless us to do this very thing. It is my prayer for Christ's sake.